Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you've already given us this day. And now, once again, the blessed opportunity to get back into your word and study some of these miracles and wonders. Thank you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our series on the miracles and wonders, let's get back into the book of Judges once again and see some of the miraculous wonders that Samson got into. As we can pick this up in Judges chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. If you remember the account when Samson had went for the wedding feast and so forth, that he had talked to those Philistines and gave them that challenge, that riddle, but they threatened his wife to be, and she gave him the answer. So that's why the father here is thinking that Samson would probably be hating her because he had been through that and that she had betrayed him in that way. But he didn't. He came to take what he felt was his rightful position as her husband. But they had given her to someone else. As we see this unfold, that of course angers Samson greatly. In verse 3, and Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. He was getting some serious payback. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. I'm sure that's not the outcome that Samson was hoping for, but that just shows you the evil of these Philistines. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. So not only did he wipe out the crops, he wiped out a bunch of them. Verse 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Now you got to understand what the situation here is at this time. In the area, the region of Judah, they are being controlled and ruled by the Philistines. So the Philistines was able to go into that area and persuade them to do what we see unfolding here. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam. No, they knew Samson. He was a brother to them, fellow Israelite, and instead of just sending a small crew up to talk to him, no, they feared him, so they sent 3,000 men up there. Read that again. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of Rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. So the people of Judah, the Israelites, were concerned that the Philistines were going to destroy them because of what Samson had done. Verse 12, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. So he humbled himself, said, all right, I'll let you take me down there to settle this thing. Instead of the people of Judah taking the opportunity to say, okay, this is the motivation. These Philistines are rising up. Perfect opportunity to us to stand up for Samson and for our own rights and to battle these Philistines right now while they are in a big hustle and bustle and upset. But they didn't. They cowered in fear and said, oh, we better get Samson and take him to the Philistines. Otherwise, they're going to hurt us. Sad, sad testimony for them. So they did. Tied him up, took him down to him. Verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkari, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So you see the miracle that was unfolding here. The fact that the Holy Ghost came upon him gave him the strength and the ability to be able to just bust those cords and to kill 1,000 people with the jawbone of that donkey. And to be able to do that, and then at the end of it, he was thirsty, and the Lord actually used that weapon of choice and opened it up and became a water source for Samson. And he drank and was revived. All that by the power of God using this man up against the Philistines. And to do this task. Let's continue this over into chapter 16 as we see some more of the things that Samson got into in Judges chapter 16. And then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Not a very good testimony there of Samson. Doing this godly work, doing what the Lord wanted him to do, knowing that the Holy Ghost was coming upon him to give him the strength and the might to do the task of and being a Nazarite, but yet turn against all that. He was pretty upset by this time, so he goes in to go in unto a harlot. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait with him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him, And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is in Hebron. Now, he didn't achieve a whole lot there, just showing how strong he was and his defiance. Verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Trying to bribe her to betray her new friend. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. It didn't take any time for her to ponder this or wonder. She just turned on him instantly. Couldn't pass up that opportunity to make some big bucks. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. He was lying to her. And it might have been a little bit of a test as well to see, what is she going to do with this information? Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withs as a thread of two is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Still at it. Now he's saying that she was possibly betraying him. But those men did not come into the room yet. Note, he just jumped up when she shouted that, and he tore them loose. So he might be thinking, well, maybe she's just playing with me, playing that game. You'd think he would have been a little bit sharper than this, but he keeps falling into the trap. Verse 11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. They still didn't come in yet. He just hops up, tears them off like nothing. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thou great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. She just kept after him, kept nagging and nagging. Come on, tell me, if you really love me, you'll tell me. And the whole time she didn't love him, she was just out for the money. All right, let's read verse 16 again. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. So she was testing him himself here. She began to afflict him. So you kind of wonder, was she kind of wrestling around with him or something? And she could tell, well, this is the mortal man now. He doesn't have the strength. In verse 20, and she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awake out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't realize that the Lord had departed from him, that the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost had not given him strength this time. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So he just kept up the ungodly behavior. And then finally betrayed his Nazarite vow. And at that time, he had pushed the limit, and it came to be that the Lord was no longer working with him. Howbeit, in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. They wanted to pick on him. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. Now there would have been 2 huge pillars in the center of the structure that would hold up the entire roof system. And they were positioned close enough together that a man the size of Samson could touch one and the other at the same time, stretching his hands out. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That was a lot of folks there. Because you recall that one time with the jawbone of the donkey, he killed 1,000. So it was quite a large building, and the way the structure was designed, a lot of people could come in there to see the festivity, to see the show. And note that he called upon the Lord, and the Lord gave him that strength. Even though his hair was coming back and growing, it was the Lord that actually gave him that strength. And him humbling himself and saying that he was willing to die to do a task, to do more than he had done while he had lived up to that point. The opportunity, and the Lord gave him that strength. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So for 20 years, Samson had the opportunity to be able to do a task for the Lord. And that was to battle the Philistines, to go up against him, to wipe out as many as he could, because they were an enemy to God and the enemy to the Israelites. And that was the calling that Samson had. He could have done a better job, sure, but we all could do a better job. And we all got to know that the strength that the Lord gives us comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from ourselves. And we got to also know that when we mess up, that there's accountability. Samson paid a horrible price for a while, and eventually he gave his life to serve the Lord. And we got to know that when we're on that pathway that leads us off of the pathway we should be on, that we need to come back onto the right pathway, ask for forgiveness, ask for mercy, ask for strength once again to be able to overcome sin and be able to overcome our enemies and be able to overcome the temptations that Satan puts in front of us. So in this we can learn how Samson was a mischievous fellow, yes, but ultimately he was doing the work that the Lord had called him to do, and that was to go up against the Philistines. So all of us can take refuge in that as well, knowing that sometimes we become mischievous little fellows doing stuff that we shouldn't be doing. But don't stay mischievous. Don't stay disobedient. Repent of that. Turn to the Lord. Ask Him to give you the strength to do the task He has set before you to do. And in that, we can see the miracles and wonders being performed in our lives as well. So many things. We see these miraculous things taking place in the Old Testament, and we see so many miraculous things in our own lives. Things that can't be explained by anything other than the fact that the Lord has a part in that. When we see ourselves being healed or our loved ones being healed from some affliction, or being able to overcome a challenge, a temptation, a disease, even an addiction, all by the power and the mercy of God. And we got to always give Him the credit for it and acknowledge that it comes from Him, not from us, because we are fallible creatures, just like fallible Samson was back then. But yet the Lord can still show us His power, His might, through us and through others around us. And this is still a time of miracles and wonders, because we can look around in our lives and others around us and see things that know that there's no way it could have happened without the Lord being a part of it. And in that, we can really be excited about that and know that there are more things ahead of us than behind us, more things coming, more miracles, more wonders, the prophecies of the last days, and so much ahead of us. But as we continue studying these miracles and wonders, we see some other miraculous events and things that unfold in the lives of other folks like David and Goliath and Elijah. All right, now let's look into these miracles and wonders a little further, as we can see here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the account of David and Goliath as it begins. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socoth and Azekah in Ephesdim, Mem, And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and the target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And we'll pick it back up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, next time, as we see David rise up and take that opportunity to show the strength and the might of the Lord and to defeat Goliath. That's all we have time for. Let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all these things that are recorded that we can look back on and study and see how miraculous events were taking place in the past, and take confidence in knowing the miracles that are prophesied to occur in the future will occur exactly like you have prophesied. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.